Some of you haven't seen you for a week or so because right after the joint service, Pastor Sam have told me, actually in a staff meeting, he told me that I actually have a lot of vacations left. And then he said that might as well take it and get some rest. And I really appreciate that. I mean, how often your boss reminds you to take vacations. So after last time we have the joint service, I share a message with you. I literally, that day, I checked out, drove the minivan, and I started off my vacations. So among the things I did in this little vacations that I have, I did two things that I'm rather, I can say, proud of about myself. So the first thing is my wife have to work on her a master's paper that she's working on. So she literally lock in for most of the time in that whole week. She's just working on her paper. So there's me and the 4-year-old. So I try something I never tried before. I told my mother-in-law, I told my mom that I'm going to try to solo JoJo. So watching a 4-year-old all day, full time, it's no easy task. And I totally starting to give respect to all the moms, dads out there. You have to watch their kids full time. You got to keep them safe and just like, find them activity. It is just, I give respect to you guys. Second things I did. I've been noticing my house is messy for a long time. I know it's bad. So I start cleaning my house. So people ask, "Are you going anywhere exciting?" Nope. I just tackled my house. So I thought it's going to take a day or two. I parked JoJo in front of the TV to watch Paw Patrol so I can go to work. At work, next thing you know, 4 hours, 6 hours went by. I realized I didn't even put a dent into the mess that I did. Day, second day, a minivan full, two minivan full. I got rid of just crazy amount of stuff. Good that my wife is in the room studying. Fill up a trash bin full. I took my clothes, so many of my clothes, I gave away half of my wardrobe because in reality, half of those clothes don't fit. Half of those clothes don't fit. Like, I would look like a burrito. But it's just back in the days, I spent so much money in buying them, and then now you can't get rid of them. Do you guys ever have that sense? You bought stuff you wish you can fit back into, but you know you ain't. I mean, unless you want to, for Halloween's sake. I sat going at it. Garage. That was like a nightmare. I feel like I was suffocating in a treasure trove because every one of these tools means something to me. I found my old airless compressor where I was in college. I paint houses for people so I can make money. These are the things that I haven't used in nearly 20 years, but yet it's sentimental value. I sat pondering onto how did I get there? How did I get there? All these yesterday's treasures. It become a burden of me. It takes a while because everything come through me. I remember clipping coupon for certain things. I remember some of these things back in the days I went to Black Friday and wait in line. I remember. But what I remember and start seeing is these things, it's a hindrance. How did I get here? I thought to myself, if I would be a little bit. Because seriously, I have brand new stuff that I need to give away. I have good batteries that was put until it was rotted out. These things have wasted. If I somehow can turn these things back into cash, would that be a good reason to become more generous? And also the time and the energy that these clutter has been stuck into me. I wonder. So today's message is on Luke 12, starting from verse 13 to 14. Because the duration of today's message, I won't read the whole thing, but I'm going to try to keep up with you, tell you where I am at. I'm going to do some key phrases and paraphrase a few things. So please keep up with me. So before I get started, starting from chapter 12 on, Luke has started narrating something about Jesus. It's getting amped up. It is that we should have an eternal perspective. And that is eternal perspective is how we are on earth right now should have an eternal perspective in the future. How we're living as we're future citizens of the kingdom as now. Also, one thing is very clear that is starting out of verse 12 is like this recorded work. It's like Jesus was saying that don't worry about what kills the body, but worry about who has the power to throw you into hell. Also, it's a very stern work. You know, Jesus is rather nice most of the time. So when Jesus put up these words, it's something that works for us to kind of put in the back of the head. Also, it is in the time that Jesus is teaching his disciples, he's marching into Jerusalem. He's asking us to be aware of the consequences that we made. Again, the theme of it is to have an eternal perspective while we're living on earth. So again, my title of today's message is as the remedy for anxiety. Now, also, I want to do a little disclaimer thingy. This is not a comprehensive anti-anxiety talk. Now, if you're upset your parents or your kids is upsetting you, this kind of anxiety, I can't help you. If you're being chased by a large dog, I can't help you. I mean, I'll throw some rocks. I'll do my best. But it is that sense that I want to talk about the anxiety that has been driven by consumerism. And is that is coming back from materialism. How we spend and how these things affect us. What the danger of this be and how this parable would tell us something about it. Let me start. So I'm starting on verse 13. I'm going to read bits and pieces of it. This is the ESV versions, and I grabbed my NIV Bible, so lots of grace today. So just keep track with me. If you have your phone, feel free to get into Luke chapter 12, 13. So it started off, Jesus has been teaching for a while, and it said at the beginning of chapter that there's tens and thousands of people was following Jesus, meaning that actually Jesus is probably reaching at the beginning of the peak of his ministry. People, and be honest, why would you not want to follow Jesus? But coming to this place where Jesus is teaching, it said that someone in the back of the crowd said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide an inheritance with me." Now, I don't know why, but whenever I read this passage and stuff like that, I just somehow get this like person, he's saying that with like a Western tank. It's like, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide my inheritance with me." I don't know why. It's because Matthias understands, because I get a little crazy sometimes. But it's just that, what is going on? He outbursts it. But then with one word, what is one sentence in outburst? Jesus replied with a parable, and then he go into explanation. That means he hits a nerve. Something that within deeper of his heart that Jesus choose to communicate with him. So it started. Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrary between you?" He said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Some translations say all types of covetousness. Put this into your memory. Put a hyperlink into your thought. We will come back to this. And it said, "A man's life does not contain in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them in this parable. So this is the beginning of the parable. Jesus is narrating what's going on, internal thought of this rich man. He said, "The ground of certain rich men produced a good crop." He thought to himself, "What I have to do to store my crop." Then he said that this is what I would do. "I would tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I would store all my grains and goods. And I would say to myself, 'Oh, you have plenty of things to store for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" And this is what God thought to his own thought. God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who store up things for themselves, but not riches toward God." And then Jesus is beginning on this, that this is where I'm going to come short a little bit. Jesus gave a set of parable. He said to tell them, it's like, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you eat, what your body, and then what you wear. Life is more than food. Remember that. Lock it into your memory. And the body is more than clothes. Consider a raven. They do not reap. They do not have storehouse or barn, but God feed them. And how much more valuable you are to the bird. And they go into the second pair of comparison. Who of you to worry of a single hour of your time? Since you cannot do any of these little things, why would you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. And not labor or spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in his splendor dress was not dressed like one of these. This is how God clothed the grass and the field, and is how today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. How much he cared for you. I'm going to forward to a little bit to verse 30. It's that only pagan will run after such things. Your Father knows what you need. So, but seek his kingdom. These things will be added to you. 32, 33, 34 is some of the key verses. "But do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possession, give to the poor, provide purses for yourself that will not wear out.
treasures in heaven, and that will not be exhausted. There will no thief near, no moth can destroy. For where your treasure is your there your heart will be also.
So I talk about this remedy for anxiety. Actually, I want to put it in this way. A lot of people talk about Christianity is this religion. If you have lived long enough, as I have, people have given you just a horrible rap of Christianity. No other religion takes this much heat. But somehow we are always on the brunt of it. But let me tell you, I believe there's a lot more other religion than Buddhism, Islam. I believe there is something is more subtle and more deadly, and is there's more people to following them. And this religion is leading people in ultimate anxiety. Also the anxiety when Jesus is coming to reveal. I actually call this is the religions of consumerology. Consumerology. How I put it, this faith is teaching people on the ideal of materialism, and that this high priest is greed. And when you put that together, it is that equal to you in a life of anxiety. Now let me tell you what not this message is about. Because it tells you not to worry about what you wear, not to worry about your body. It does not mean that today you stop taking shower, do not cut toenails, that kind of things. It's to say that you put a paternal perspective in who you are now. Do not come to church naked. It's not an anti-money talk, but it is how you direct your resource, where you put your heart is. Remember that. It's where your heart, where your treasure is where your heart will be. So why is this important? Why is this important? Because I believe that once you actually have a faith, this will be your purpose. As Rick Warner wrote a book called Purpose Driven, it's because that you have a purpose, then you drive your life to this. So if consumerism or consumerology is becoming your faith, and materialism is the message that is taught, then your life will be driven toward that direction. So this all began with a question that this guy yelled out. It's like, Jesus, tell my brother to divide up my inheritance. And then Jesus going to kick into his Jesus mode. He say, watch out, all kinds of greed. A lot of people would say that all kinds of greed, that means I'm greed over all kinds of things. And that got some truth to it. But in the study, that greed is actually a really odd sin, a unique sin. All kinds of greed in the way, in the old language, in the definitions they give it. Let me put it in today's term. You ever, anyone who does not know who Mystique is from X-Men? Shapeshifter, does not know what a shapeshifter is? No reply. I'm sleeping. Anyone who know Mystique? Not. Yeah, X-Men Mystique. Greed is Mystique. Greed is Mystique. Greed is unique from every other sin. But let me tell you what sin basically is. All sin does is actually to put other stuff or put himself in the place of where God is. All it is sin needs you to do is not that you have to bow down and worship Satan. It is that you worship any other things. So in a sense, sin is just trying to put things in your heart where God's supposed to fill. So that's what sin does. And why is greed so manipulative or so hard to detect? Because it's ship-shaped. Now, let me give you another example. The sin of adultery. If you committed adultery, you know. You won't wake up, it's like, why am I naked? You know, why am I doing this? Theft. If you stole something, you know it because it's in your pocket. But sin is different. Sin often disguises itself as frugalness. I'm just trying to save some. Buying battery, stash it away. I need more. You bought more, you don't even remember. Sometimes greed also disguises itself as kindness. I'm just trying to get one more for my brother. I'm trying to get one more for a sister. So it disguises itself, maybe even in wisdom. It is good to buy them now. Even though sometimes you see a North Face jacket, I was struggling. See a North Face jacket, I know that won't fit, or maybe like I can lose some weight and fit into it. It's wise. But essentially, it is greed. It is asking you to take something to fill into that desires of need. Finding things to fill it in. You ever heard of things? It's like maybe, Sam, you're reaching. But if you think that this is sort of like a religion, I mean, it's like we not go to church, right? That's somewhat true. You ever heard of a term called brand loyalty? Brand loyalty? Sometimes people like boys, right? I like Hondas. Honda shirt, Honda jacket, Honda racing. You know, hey, I'll get, you know, I love the Golden State Warriors, but they don't pay you. But there's white people wearing shirts in the back say curry. I always ask, is it chicken curry, red curry? What kind of curry is this? Brand loyalty. I make fun of it, but it's true. I start off with one Apple product. Now they're plaguing. They're like invading my house and they're expensive. Brand loyalty. Don't think this is not happening. On the very last Sunday that I took my vacations, I went out to have lunch with one of my old pastors. And then we were talking and we were having Hong Kong food and we were just having a good time. And then we watched these things. It was a Sunday. It was two Sundays ago. It was right in Christmas. And then one person at the table said that today Nordstrom makeup is 50% off. The girl who's putting down my food, she put down my food. She literally got back to the table. It's like, is it really 50% off? It's like, the guy said, yes, my wife is over there now. You know what she did? She walked in the kitchen, grabbed her purse, and she walked out. I don't think it's not influencing. It is borderline. It is a faith. You have faith in 50% off. Don't underestimate it. The problem is, with this message, maybe just saying that, you know, I'm poor, I'm still a student, I'm just buying a few things. But see, you look at it in the parable starting from 16 to 20, it is saying that this rich person, his folly is he put this in his objects of trust. The stuff that owns, maybe not one thing, but the accumulations of the stuff he owns is his faith. These things identified him. When things identify you, they own you. Today we're going on a war going on. It's how people identify themselves. You give it 20 years ago, you can go to school and say, I'm a bear. People's like, all right, bear. No one care. But today people care so much how you identify because that is your true identity. You put enough Supremes on, then you need to keep on more Supreme clothing on. I just found out how much is a t-shirt, a white t-shirt with Supremes on it. I thought I was a misread. I put my glasses on. Matthias is like, nope. Yeah. It is what it is. When object becoming objects of your faith, it is a faith. So let me talk about a bit more because Jesus said this is greed. Let's talk a bit more about this high priest of greed, covetousness. It is when it shifts a sense, when it turns into consumerism or consumerology, you guys is not flinching, especially in the Chinese community. Maybe greed is almost like an acceptable sin. We're trying to be frugal, but let's identify it. In the Gospel of Mark, it actually associates this greed with a form of slavery. Of course, it is wickedness. It is saying that this will eventually bind you, but I am not teaching you anything new. This is what sin does. That's why some of the reason this is a sign of over 2,000 verses in the Bible talk about money and wealth and how you handle it. And Forbes magazines actually have an article who talk about, is the Bible the ultimate guide to finance? And then there is another article on Forbes magazine, not on Christianity Today, is talk about the theology of finance. There is something the Bible is knowing. He's knowing that it is not a rich issue. It's not a poor issue. It is a sin issue. I love how Chinese narrate greed. Tom Sum. It is something from here. People think this is a rich issue. Absolutely not. Recently, there is so many homeless people going around. Do you know how many carts of homeless people? I have seen a person dragging a cart. He's pushing one, dragging one, and then there's another cart dangling onto it. It is not a wealth issue. It is something that we need things to fill that heart
whole issue. Now, why is that dangerous? What is that they're teaching? And why does God in here, when the rich man does this stuff, that God got so ticked off? He's coming with a reckoning because we want to recognize the danger so we know how they operate. Let me give you an example. Let's just per se that most of you recognize that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Give me a nod. Do you at least recognize that? Jesus Christ died on the cross. He's a good guy, right? Will you ever get a Jesus haircut? But look at how movie star get a haircut, what actresses have a purse. We tend to mimic after it. And this is how real it is, because what materialism is trying to re-identify you. Last year, Peter was teaching us in lessons in Romans 12, is that we are in the image of God. To remember that, you are made in the image of God. But here we are. Something else is trying to reshape our image. Again, what shapes your image is what owns you, what controls you. Body image. Don't even get me started on the fashion industry. Not only just I'm selling you a pretty dress, I'm telling you exactly what body type is acceptable. Beauty industry. This is how you paint your face. It is a ridiculous thing. It is the ridiculous things. We're saying that we're teaching you guys. You guys even tell me that you guys are unique. If you're unique, why are you trying so hard to paint your face into a Shiseido model? It's one type. If you're unique, you are already beautiful. I'll give you another example. You know what's one of the favorite toy baby is? At least what JoJo is. When she was little, she liked to see the shiny mirror of him. It's like a crunchy, crunchy mirror. A lot of kids love it. Oh, you ever see a kid in front of a mirror? They literally lash out and giggle. They're like, yay. Who doesn't like to look at babies? But if you put makeups on babies, people will get mad because you're violating something is already beautiful. But yet here we are. Don't think men is avoid an exam from this. Over the Christmas seasons and stuff, you see a Lexus commercial. A father is buying a Lexus, covering the wife's eyes. It's like the gift of giving. You don't think it's redefining you? This is what a good husband will be. Target. Provide for your kids a tree full of gifts. Therefore, it is your fatherhood identity. I make jokingly, and I know today some of you guys are wearing vintage jeans. When I was growing up, there's no such thing as vintage jeans. It's just jeans that you wore until they fall apart. Now there is vintage jeans. You know you pay more for jeans with holes in it? I'm not making fun of you guys. You pay more for jeans with holes in it. Back then, we just wear them till they have holes. We call them holy jeans. When I was in sales, one of the top positions that a lot of us is getting into, it's called Mars Marketing Sales. I was working in semiconductor. The position is called Brand Evangelist. You don't think Peter's laughing because he knows? You don't think they exist? You don't think Nike have brand evangelists? You don't think Lululemon doesn't have brand evangelists? Setting an image for you. Maybe for your younger generations looking into the Instagram era, you ever known the term called influencer? What are they influencing you? Look perfect, perfect makeup in a hippie van. They sell you that hat. Look at it. I'm so carefree. Buy this hat. Materialism. Religion's creeping in every way. You just didn't know that. Pay attention to it. Where your treasure is where your heart will be. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm not telling you to stop buying things. If you have diarrhea, should go look for those Baptopismos commercial. But it is that how you put your mind into. Watch out where you put your treasure at. If you don't think I'm what I'm telling you is semi-truth. If we're looking at it, it's a church analogy of this consumerology, and then it's teaching of materialism. You know what their budget is? You know what that budget is? This is how I calculate. In the United States, our revolving debt is at $1.05 trillion. In case you don't know what revolving debt is, that's all credit card debt. That's what we borrow to buy, $1 trillion. or total consumer debt, given the sake that is including your house, your car, and then into your student loans. And Peter last time told me student loan was at $3 trillion. But total debt is $13.86 trillion. Not even in the B's, it's in the T's. But however, you buy a car, you buy something crappier than what you have. You go up. And how many people are buying things is beyond their mean, because these things reflect who they are. Different from yesteryears, people is just like, if you're a doctor, you dress a certain way because that's what a doctor does. He reached that status. But right now, more importantly, is how we project ourselves. How we project ourselves. And you think this is only into the marketing, into clothing, into the fashion industry, but it's not. I've looked at it, this 30 to 40% of our food is wasted every year. That's 131 billion pounds, $161 billion. For those who are you environmentally conscious, you wondering how they stack everything side by side so abundantly in Safeway, knowing that 30 to 40% of them is going to waste, because they need you to feel like the abundance, the sense of abundance. You don't buy one macaroni and cheese, you buy two, you get one free. You don't think they factored into the cost? I did. A throwaway perfectly good macaroni cheese was expired at 2005. I'm guilty. But I didn't even know that how this happened to me. I won't even get into a storage facility. How many people actually use storage facility to hold stuff that they haven't even seen? But overall, the sense that it is in the survey is that the Americans actually feel very anxious over their finance. And over 70% of them, their anxiousness has come from because they cannot own the things that they want. And that's a result of that faith. They put the treasure in the wrong box, on the wrong object. You might say to Sam, it's just anxiety. I have anxiety all the time, you know, school shootings and all these things. I wake up in anxiety. Wake up in anxiety. And I hope you don't. Bible describes anxiety as not just a sense of anxiousness, but it is a sense of your heart is splitting into pieces. It's more so to define it even more. It's like you're losing that center of it. It's going in all directions. And it's also given a sense that it's frictioning, because one is pulling, one is going this way. And why would you not be? Why would you not be? Looking at a commercial, in order to be a good husband, you need to provide a Lexus. I'll put in some extra hours. Even I look at it, I budget and see what I can get for JoJo. Trying to buy beyond our means. We're trying to provide, especially men. I talk about men. We fall into it. We think more we earn is what we can provide that justify us. But in no point that my heart, whenever it's out there, I'm not with my family. I guilt myself into buying gifts for children. That's all my friend did. Come to Christmas season, all the fathers buying all the guilt gift. So many Nintendo Switches been purchased. It's because I am not here. Here, hang on to this. But it is splitting your heart. How we spend our finance. And some people in the pursuit of the hobbies, they sacrifice into the family income, because these are the things they set themselves in. I'm making fun of men now. I need to buy an extra camera. I already have 7. I need to buy the next one. I budget myself for it. But in sacrifice of what? These things is constantly in the heart. It create tensions in your heart. That's why I call this person a fool. God called this rich man a fool. It's not that because he is unwise into making decisions. He actually probably know how to make money. I don't know. But he called him a fool. Also, Bible talk about a fool is that a person without an inner perspective. It's like you can't listen to the good voice in your heart. You know what's right, but you can't do it. It's also kind of funny that in verse 16, I noticed it actually this morning. It says that when it said the harvest, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop, it had nothing to do with him. He just happened to be there. We always mad at God for chances. Something bad happened, weather, their thing. We always, God, you are unfair. But do we ever give credit to God for all the goodness he's put in your heart? All the skill set? Some of the talent?
Why am I having musical? Why do I have a good ear of music? And why I happen to be born in a family of musicians? As a person's working so much, why am I? I look at myself. Why was I blessed with opportunity? I look at a couple of opportunities. Someone else should have been that someone's importance is apprentice or his aide. But somehow something happened. Sam stepped up. Do we give thanks to God when we are in good fortunes? This is what the sin of this, and this is why calling the reckonings of this fool is because he stored everything in the ground and his hole wasn't big enough. He had to dig a bigger hole, a bigger storage, so he can fulfill, he can find more God to stuck into it. I need more devotions into it. You grow up in Sunday school, you know that storing things in the treasure, in the Bible term, when you store treasure in the ground, it is a sin already. Now, I'm impacting you a little bit, my. At least I want to share with you. Because we live in a grace economy. It's grace economy. It's you shouldn't have it, but I'm blessing you with it. I've always used this term, cup overflow, like Aaron's beer dripping down. It's always passing forward. In that sense that God blessed this guy, you're supposed to bless it forward. But in the faith of consumerologists, to make you always feel like you're inadequate, you're insufficient, you're lacking, other people have more than you do, you never see how blessed you are. And look at this fool. At the end of the ultimate state, he said, I'm good. He said to God, I am good. And God said to him, fool. Fool. He mistreated his blessings. Now, I've been kicking you around for almost my time is up. Bump off a few minutes. I want to close it in a word of encouragement. And how is this remedy? As this message said, there should be a remedy, right? Should be a cure. When Jesus is speaking to this person, it's just one word of his outburst. Jesus, go on that extent that you know that he's with him. Knowing that Jesus' heart is always that he's frustrated at the sin, but he's all loving to the people. And this is how God solve the problem. When you want to take something away from someone, you have to offer something better. When Joanna was a tiny little baby, when she was about to teeth, she used to take this bib of her, like a little whale bib. I remember that bib. She would gnar until that thing turns funky. That's what she does. She's just her favorite thing. She's just gnawing at it. When you want to take it away to wash it, she would literally baby white knuckle. You can pick up the whole baby by that. She's like, white knuckle. She wouldn't let it go because that is exactly give her the satisfaction of fulfillment. But until what? I pick her up. I pet her. At the end, that was JoJo was so small. I can put my arm and to cover her whole torso within 30 seconds. That thing popped right out of the mouth. She's grabbing a hold of my fingers and she just literally sit there content. And this is what the Father does for you. In verse 32, he said that this is exactly how I'm going to switch with you. And Jesus will die for your consumerism. Because he said, Father is giving you the kingdom first. The Father been pleased to give you the kingdom. Didn't ask that you stop purchasing, you stop wasting, you become good. He offered you his kingdom first. Jesus Christ offered the kingdom. People ask, does he really need to die for this? He did. Always don't underestimate how much what Jesus has done. He done more than we understand in smaller way than we can ever imagine. But yet he died to free us from this slavery, like Mark was saying. We no longer have to identify. You identify me. Through me. That's why we are Christians. Before it was prophet was saying, but then it is Son of God. Look at me. Look at me. This is what generosity is about. That's why Jesus just keep feeding. He's sending people wine or the pleasing or the joy. He said, because it is generosity through me. You didn't earn any of it. Matter of fact, you fell short, but I will provide. I will provide. Learn from me. Learn from me. And in a sense, that's just to give you more confidence in these compared to things. The birds, the lilies. But you talk about these things as all temporal things. Do you ever notice that? Everything is temporal, time-stamped. Even crow, I'll give you a really clear thing. Crow is an unclean animal. What the Bible said is that even the unclean thing, God put attentions into. Even the fading things, he put detail into. And you, I gave my son. How would I not know what you need? Now again, I'm not in here to promise you wealth. I'm just asking you to consider and seeing what Jesus has done. And to re-examine how you set your life path. And most of you seniors is out there looking for a career change. Looking for a job. Are you goodness driven? Or are you material driven? Again, just asking you to think. Not condemning anyone. It's the weirdest things that eventually... Remember last week Pastor Sam's message, time? Remember that? One of the things that he talked about, you know, what's at the end of time, what is the most important thing? You remember what was that? I think it was relationship, he said that, right? The end of it, what's important is relationship. Last year, someone that I know, a family, has been a big contributor to a lot of ministry work. In a way that we couldn't imagine. Singaporean rich, like real crazy rich Asians. She was dying. She was dying. And then she asked that her executive to call upon her friends, people she taught Sunday school with, people she'd done mission trips with. She called them upon and she said, I want to see them before I go. And the executive say, don't you want to see your kids? Don't you not want to see your relatives? And she chuckled. She said, don't worry. When I die, they will go find my lawyer. Because they're after money. But when I'm about to lay to rest, all I care about is relationship. And I wish I have more time. You can never buy one more second. But in eternality, God offers you two things. Look at the upside down value of God. Two things. They offer you unlimited time to properly have a relationship. I'm using an analogy. Zuri and Matthias know each other for all of your life, but you will start knowing each other beginning eternity. None of the things, none of the toxics, none of the things you ever done this, none of the things that you ever make Zuri do, whatever hold against a proper relationship. That's what people can have. Unlimited time to have proper relationship. I always joke with my wife. She said, will you come and look for me? I said, of course. I said, what will you do? I said, I will hold hands with you for at least 100 years. And she said, only 100 years. And I said, to my excuse, I need to switch hands. After 100 years, I was probably sweaty and moldy. But it's a joke. Yeah, proper time without restraint. Also look at eternity. They said they had onyx, golds, and stuff like that. You'd probably be frustrated because all these things that are so valuable to us right now, the things that are the object of our faith, it will become useless. You just adorn them for purely for how pretty and shiny they are, but then they have no value. Jesus has come and demonstrated for us. He is here to break that viciousness, the whole and ideology of greed. Now you know why sometimes when I look at license plate, people say all religions coexist. Can't. Because in here we're teaching stewardship. Most things is teaching you is ownership. My time is up, but let me just give you this example. If you're working, you're sitting in the cubicle one day, you're working, and one of your coworker comes in, Daniel, someone comes into your cubicle, and they take your stapler. You're like, what's going on? You probably get mad, but you won't go after him, right? Because I just get another stapler. It's not mine, it's company's. I ain't going to kill for it. God put you in that perspective. Nothing you own is really yours. The deed that I own with a house in Cupertino, what if China invade? What if the U.S. market dollar tank? We're going with run now. Nothing's really eternal. So, what will you do? What is your eternal mindset into the treasure that you have hold? How would that be? There's needy people around us. Do not ignore them. I'm going to end with this. How many of you think that the church should be more generous toward poor people and the people who need it? Just give me, yeah. Especially young people. Now, I'm going to be rude, young people. In the last year, 2019, have you put $1 in the donation box? Good, Curtis. You have the right to talk now. It is, Jesus is saying, you put your action where your faith is at. Because things is out there influence your mind in more subtle ways than you ever know. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. Open your eyes. You're smart. You can critically think. You can critically think. Think well. Put your treasure in the right box. And I ask God to bless you.